American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, December 29th, 2008. And that's right, you're listening to Newsreel. While global sit-rep on corporatical tyranny, technology, and trends for your head, space, and timing in 2009. Hey, we're almost done this year. We got another one coming up, and boy, is it an exciting time to be alive or what? Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal, and you can get there by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Non-Surveyum Radio, Osprey Radio Networks, Creek Radio, Radio Red Mercury, and let's not forget that every second life at the Node of Archers, it's Leet for the Beast. That's right, grid 1557-4666. You know it's good. You know it's awesome. It's there in Second Life every Thursday night at 7, unless it's Christmas. So this one's actually being recorded on an early morning a couple days prior to that. But never worry. If you are listening to this, you know that Sean's not going to let you down. And I'm going to keep, broadcasting so you can get the news you need to stay alive. Let's get some feedback right off the top. Always get some interesting feedback this time of year. Dear Sean, thank you for everything you do. You are V for the Web 2.0 generation without all that Guy Fawkes mask stuff. I've listened to you since Halloween 2000 when you spoke at the Aldergrove incident with Dak on What the Hell. And every time I hear you speak, I'm taken back by the wealth of information you report and how you report it. Although I won't make it to the 10th anniversary because of the economy is a big bag of fuck all, I hope to see you when my bookstore manager, fiancé, and I tie the knot next year and choose a honeymoon spot real close to BC. I'll be sending off news items from time to time. I need to get involved more with the station. I used to be all over the place in the rant burst. Before I sign off, I need to say one thing. Newsreel is just so fucking rocket balls! It's not even funny. And that's from Pinion Blue. Well, you know, there's a lot of folks who feel that, they want to be more involved with the station. And they like to get more involved, and they thank me very, very much. And it is important. I mean, the fans are the reason why I do this. But if we want to take Rant Radio to the next step, if we want to take Rant Media and turn it into the media empire with giant genetically engineered two-headed cats and, you know, move forwards with it. See, I was thinking about this. I've been talking about this on and on with some folks with the whole aspects of subscriptions and that. And the donations and the subscriptions, there's a whole lot of people out there, I find, who want to become involved, who want to donate to a good cause. And it's just a matter of finding the right cause, making sure that nothing gets screwed up. Moving right along here. Dear Sean, I sent a Wikipedia article about micro-patronage. Micro-patronage? Obviously, you are doing that with the RK... obviously, you are doing that. But the way that RK Mulholland has done it is more interesting. He put up a notice telling his readers that his webcomic would be that he would quit his day job and update every day if he received a year's salary in donations. I don't know how many people listen to your show every week, but maybe this could work for you. In my last email, I said that I'd like to see you update Newsreel more often. Not every day, of course. Maybe every day, yes. And I would definitely put up money to get that to happen. And I've no signature going to be given on this. Well, you know, the funny thing is that if I was to go, I treat the fans with a lot of respect here on Rant. I'm going to do the show regardless. You know what I mean? So I don't really feel right about taking a hostage and saying, hey, you either give me money or no show for you. Because everybody... It seems like everybody in the known universe is trying to come up with more and creative ways of trying to get WOG separated from their money. You know what I mean? And that's just not how we operate here at Rant. That's not my goal. If you want to donate to the show and subscribe and pay, you know, the $5 or whatever a month, that's great. $1.25 a show works out pretty good. But if not, that's okay too, because there's a lot of people out there, if they can't donate, they distribute. And I just wouldn't feel right about, you know, saying, hey, do this or else. I've never operated that way. I've got faith in the WOGs. I know everything is going to work out for the best. Thank you very much. But, okay, well, Sean, why do we give you this? Well, you know, I was thinking, what would I name my resort? Because I was thinking, what would be better, a resort or a theme park? You know, really, for tax purposes, because you can't call it a training camp, because otherwise the CIA shows up with Green Berets and SAS and everybody gets shot. And then laid face down and they make up some cockamamie story with Kool-Aid. That's an interesting thing about Jonestown, eh? Go look at the pictures of Jonestown, and you'll notice that in all the photos, everybody's lying face down, and no bodies are piled on top of each other. It looks really, really placed. A very strange thing. I had somebody point that out to me, and I'm like, holy crap. Because when people, you know, are contorting in the agony of suicide death, they don't really, you know, lie face down all peaceful-like and then check out. That's not what they do. I mean, it's a very, very painful way to die. I mean, killing yourself is retarded anyway, but you see what I'm saying here. So there's, I don't know. But regardless, we're not talking about Jonestown. We're talking about, like, a resort. You know, if you were to open up a resort where it was like you could go there and train and do scuba and, like, hang out, maybe go for jungle walks, learn how to eat snakes, that kind of a thing. If you were to do that, what would you call a resort? Like, think about it now. If you were going to have a resort, what would you call it? And the best name I could come up with, I really like this name just because of the whole thing, is imagine in stenciled letters you have it says, The Last Resort. That's the name of the resort. But you got to make it a little bit more friendly. So in very sweeping feminine writing underneath it, you put The Last Resort and Spa. Right? So you have a spa there too, because spas are great. Huh? You know, you need to kick back for a while. You have The Last Resort and Spa. I like it. I think it's a great title. You know, and for me, it's mostly about the title. You know, really. Unless, of course, it all depends on the country you're going to. I was looking at Guyana. I wanted to go build a resort in Guyana, set that as, like, Wog 1 or whatever, but no! Had a big military coup down there, man! I hate that stuff. There's always these military coups and countries being taken over by other countries. Maybe we should just go down and carve out a chunk of Africa and just take that over. You know what I mean? Start slow. You know, of course, they get kind of intense down there in Africa about this sort of thing. So, you know, I don't know. Open to suggestions, Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com is the live journal, or you can get me at newsreel, newsreel at randradio.com for direct reference communication through email. I got to sort yourself out. Always good, always good. Dear Sean, first and foremost, I'd like to thank you and Sim for everything you guys are doing for nothing in return. Well, not quite nothing. We're working on it. I've been listening and watching for the better part of 3 years now. I can honestly say that you guys keep me sane, or at least my version of it, in a very trying time. We get a lot of these emails. We get a lot of emails from guys saying, you know what, man, if it wasn't for you, I would have put a gun in my mouth. I appreciate that. No guns in the mouths. Don't kill yourself. In the 3 years, I've been kicked out of college. And had lost a good job due to budget cuts. Been searching for a full-time work for 2 years, as well as letting myself get delusional over a girl. Oh, girls! Needless to say, I've been stuck in limbo for a while, and your work is helping me to finally wake up and realize that I need to initiate change in my own life, and no one is going to do that for me. That is true! You are responsible for who you are. That brings me to my main point. I have initiated change that I'm moving across the country from Chicago to Las Vegas. I have family willing to take me in and let me have a shot at a whole new job market and give the opportunity to initiate change in my life. What I'm hoping for is the momentum to help me change things about my life, such as physical health, I'm a fatty, and my spiritual self. It will be tough to leave all my friends who have helped me survive last few years, but every logical fiber tells me that this is a good decision. My question to you is, do you have any advice on how to make this transition more effective? So I leave on the 12th, so I'll listen to your next newsreel show on the plane and hope to hear what you have to say. Thank you, name withheld. P.S. I feel like such a mooch having all of this content to help my life and having given nothing back. If you guys need assistance with anything I'm capable of, don't hesitate to ask. Well, you know, there's always subscriptions. $5 a month is a pretty cheap way to get rid of that horrible, crushing guilt, which must be destroying you. But no, seriously, it's hard when you have to reboot and reload. Before you go out there, there's one self-help torrent that's floating around out there. It's a Brian Tracy torrent, called The Science of Self-Confidence, which I find is very, very helpful. It's a little bit long to listen to. It's perfect for a flight, but check out Brian Tracy's The Science of Self-Confidence. He covers a lot of stuff that a lot of other, you know, Tony Robbins type books, cover. But he does it in such a way that's a little bit more palatable. You know, some of those books or some of those tapes and stuff are pretty, I don't know, they're hard to get into. You know, they kind of feel like you're drinking the Kool-Aid a bit. But whenever you're starting new, you have to remember there's three facets to you, right? You got your mind, body, and spirit. Even if you're Richard Dawkins, you've got mind, body, and spirit. And if you want to work on, if you don't believe in the spirit connection or whatever, that's fine. Just work on your mind and body. Because the rule is that if you work on two of those, the third one will come along. So, like, if your body's no good, you work on your mind and your spirit, your body comes along. You're, you know, and so on and so forth. So, what I would suggest, first of all, is you must pay very close attention to your diet. And if you're going to do a clean break and a restart, make it a clean break and restart. Think about the kind of person that you want to be. Do you want to be in shape? Okay, if you want to be in shape, that means you have to start looking first at your diet. 70% of working out is diet. If you work out, you don't change your diet, you're a moron. You're wasting your time, okay? If you don't change your diet. So you got to change your diet, and you have to change your exercise, right? And get some. I would recommend, again, getting up in the morning, drinking only water, get your fat ass around the block, okay? You know, anything you do in the morning, just when you drink water, no food, is 500% more effective at fat burn. So that's one side of it. But what about the mind? Like, what can we do with the mind? Well, make sure you're getting enough sleep. Make sure you get, you know, your 8 hours a night. And I would recommend exercising in the morning because that gets your head a little bit, you know, sharper. Do your cardios in the morning. And from there, you want to start making sure you're putting good things into your brain. That Science of Self-Confidence book is a good one. The Power of Focus is another good one. Focus and routine. The power of routine is devastating. After you do something for about 21 days, things just start, you know, feeling a little bit more natural. And you start feeling weird if you don't get up in the morning and go for a run. So I would really recommend you try to establish a new routine and new procedures in your life that promote good habits. Because humans, on the whole, are creatures of habit. And let's be real, we got a New Year's Eve is coming up here pretty quick. Time for the resolutions, right? Everybody wants to make resolutions on New Year's Eve. So what kind of resolutions should you make? Well, you know, exercise every day is a good one. You want to be working towards a goal. Try to actually draw out a character sheet for yourself. Try to figure out what it is that you want and how you can get it. And plan for failure. Plan to say, oh, well, if this happens and this happens and I fall off the wagon, what can I do to make sure I get back on the wagon? Who am I accountable to? Remember the power of association. The people that you hang out with actually do determine the kind of person that you are. Do not hang out with negative people. Hang out with positive people. People who think they're going somewhere. Come on, seriously now. Rand Media has been a bunch of guys broadcasting out of a bedroom for the first part of their few years, okay? We had more people in the studio than we did out there on the other side. Now we got thousands of people all over the world listening to us. Time passes. Things happen. Things will evolve. You have to have faith in yourself and carry on. It sounds like it's just a rehash of more rhetoric, but that rhetoric is rhetoric for a reason. A reason. You got Server out there to provide all kinds of audiobooks and spoken word stuff. It's active media. Put it on your headphones. Listen to it while you sleep, sit in the airport, whatever, and change your life for the better. And of course, if you need help and you can't find anything that's going on, I mean, there's always different organizations that are always looking for good folks to get involved with. There's always the military. They do give you a bit of a, you know, sort of a psychological reset button. Kind of an interesting idea. So, you know, good luck to you and all the best for you in Vegas. Into the news, in cult news. Kind of like the cult news. Former Disc Keeper employee Alex Goldman and Mark Lachey filed suit against their ex-employer earlier this year, accusing the company of firing them for refusing to sit through a thinly veiled religious indoctrination to join Scientology. This is Disc Keeper employees. Disc Keeper filed its response, and in a move that observers called unusual and inappropriate, motion to strike sections of the pair's argument. Goldman Lachey's arguments accused Diskkeeper of violating the California Fair Employment and Housing Act of California labor law on multiple counts, as well as failing to uphold its legal obligation to maintain a discrimination-free environment. Diskkeeper's response seeks to black out the Goldman and Lachey's request for the company to forever refrain from requiring any employee, as a condition of employment, to study, adopt, or apply Scientology-authored Hubbard Management Technology and other related Hubbard Study Technology in the workplace. The unusual request is justified by the company's First Amendment rights, in which it argues that injunctions prohibits religious practice in the workplace are unconstitutional. Well, trust the Scientology to find a way to bring religion into the workplace. Motions to strike are rarely filed, explains Scott Pilatic of the blog Reality Based Community. A party will sometimes move to strike language in a pleading, which is scandalous and has no relevance to the complaint or the relief requested. Most notable, says Pilatic, that Diskkeeper's argument constitutes an implicit admission that both Hubbard programs that both of the Hubbard programs are religious in nature. Why would they advance the argument that Diskkeeper has protected interest in providing religious training to employee, argues Pitlick. Diskkeeper claims and in no way concedes that Hubbard management and study technology are religious, but to anyone familiar with both Scientology and Hubbard's supposedly secular technologies, the two brands are basically indistinguishable. And indeed, the establishment of supposedly secular fronts was intended by Hubbard to be a recruiting tool. The pair's original complaint chronicles the individual brief periods of time that both Goldman and Lachey were employed with Diskkeeper, where, despite exhibiting stellar performance at both Diskkeeper and their former employers, management continually forced them to attend Scientology-themed company training seminars and ultimately adopt their religion. Goldman, who practices Judaism, has had his employment suddenly terminated after a year and a half at the company on October 19, 2006, while Lachey was forced to resign less than a month after joining. The lawsuit goes on to describe a work environment saturated with Scientology influences. Religious art adorns the walls, and new employees receive a copy of L. Ron Hubbard's The Way to Happiness, which includes advice on personal life, including sex. The company frequently mentioned or held a massive library of Scientology books offered for sale or loan, and management often used Scientology lexicon in day-to-day work. Ultimately, the lawsuit was Diskkeeper employees were constantly bombarded with Scientology imagery and an ideology within the work environment, whether they wanted it or not. Furthermore, attempts by the pair to seek advice from other members of upper management have always resulted in an order to conform for their own good. Slashdot notes that Diskkeeper former CEO and current chairman Craig Jensen is a high-level, publicly avowed Scientologist who attributes Diskkeeper's success to Hubbard's teachings. A hearing for Diskkeeper's motion to strike will take place January 27, 2009, at a tentative trial date set in for mid-June. Now, you gotta give it to the Scientology guys. You know, they got the entire internet hating on them. Everybody knows they're a psychotic cult. Everybody knows this. It's not even a mystery anymore, okay? Come on. Yet, they're a multi-billion dollar organization with armed bases and a navy. For crying out loud, Blackwater doesn't have the kind of resources that Scientology does, and Blackwater's backed by the Pentagon. So all I want is just, you know, to kind of rip off Scientology a little bit, and maybe a little bit of Blackwater too, and we'll just build ourselves a base somewhere where we can build giant robots and genetically engineer two-headed cats, is all I'm saying. Okay, it's possible. All I gotta do is be a giant prick and try to, like, you know, manipulate people into being my loyal slaves. You know, because that's really what all these religions are about. Manipulating people to be slaves. And I just, you know, unfortunately I've got this, like, resist the jerk meme that I got going on inside my head. Like, I'll sit there and I'll be like, no, I'm not going to do that, because that's kind of an asshole thing to do. Like, I'm just not going to be an asshole to my fans. I can't, sorry guys. You know, and the funny thing is that people, I'm often accused of trying to start up some sort of movement or something, you know. People who are just angry with the world will come to me and they'll be like, Sean, you're, you know, a terrible person because you're doing this, you're doing that. Then I see what you are. You're no better than L. Ron Hubbard. And well, I'm a lot poorer, I'll tell you that. But, you know, at this wonderfully festive season, I had a real good Christian friend of mine one time said to me, he said, you know, if you want to know how God feels about money, look at who he gives it to. You know, which is a kind of a funny way to be. You know, I always thought that was an interesting way of looking at it, but, yeah, you know, money doesn't solve everything, but it's really, really important. So, you know, I think that if we could somehow get ourselves to be organized in an organization that was kind of like Scientology, but not evil, that's the trick. You know, that would be the big brass ring there. How do you have your cake and eat it too? Well, maybe we won't need to. Maybe we can do it with fembots. Yes, that's right. You know, it's very, very hard to make, you know, sexually perfect robots. So rather than do that, why don't we just take women and turn them into, like, you know, overly sexually stimulated machines? Hey? Apparently there's a chip which does that. The chip works by sending tiny shocks from an implanted electrodes in the brain. The technology was used in the United States to treat Parkinson's disease. But in recent months, scientists have been focused on the area of the brain just behind the eyes in the orbitofrontal cortex. This is associated with feelings of pleasure derived from eating and sex. The research survey conducted by Morten Kringelbach, senior fellow at Oxford's University Department of Psychiatry, found the orbital frontal cortex could be a new stimulation target for helping people suffering from anhedonia. Anhedonia. Have you heard of anhedonia yet? Well, it's inability to experience pleasure from such activities as sex. an anhedonist. An adhedonian. Adhedonian? Oh, interesting. Inability to experience pleasure from such activities. These findings are reported in Nature Reviews of Neuroscience Journal. Neuroscience professor Tipu Aziz said there is evidence that this chip will work. A few years ago, a scientist implanted such a device in the brain of a woman with a low sex drive and turned her into a very sexually active woman. She didn't like the sudden change, so her wiring in her head was removed. Wow. So let me just make sure this is right here. You've already implanted it in a person, so we know it works. You put a chip inside of a woman's head, and she becomes very sexually active. Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. Now, what if you could do this against their will? Like, not to be all Prince of Darkness about this, but come on! You know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm going to open up my my snakehead lab here in some, you know, African nation. I'll go to, like, I don't know, Zanzibar or something like that, and I'll go open up, you know, my little clinic here. So they show up with their shipload of snakehead women. We strap them all down to tables, put these chips inside their head, and we come up with the best hookers the world's ever seen. And they can't control themselves. He added, however, that the current technology, which requires surgery to connect a wire from the heart pacemaker from a heart pacemaker to the brain, can cause bleeding and is intrusive and crude. He continued that with the technology as improved, we can use deep brain stimulation on many new areas. It will be more subtle. With more control over the power, you may be able to turn the chip on or off when needed. In 10 years' time, the range of therapeutics will be amazing. We don't even know half the possibilities yet. An electronic machine named the Orgasmatron was taken from the 1973 Woody Allen film Sleeper, is already under development by a North Carolina doctor who is modifying a spinal cord stimulator to produce pleasure in women. Isn't that something else? So what we got now is we got the ability to take pleasure, which is, let's be real, this is why pornography and porn is as big on the internet as it is. It's an ability to stimulate pleasure in people. So when you have an electronic medium that can do that, and more than that, you have an electronic medium which you can put into females who, let's be real, are pretty big in the whole determination of sex thing, I could see this being misused more than a little bit. I mean, imagine what if Scientology got a hold of this and started putting in their followers and stuff? Oh my God! Craziness would ensue. Speaking of craziness, everybody talks about Iraq, okay? Iraq, 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 Iraq. And let's be real, it's really crappy what's going on over there. There's a lot of innocent people getting dead on both sides, and it's very, very horrible, and there's a lot of young men who are over there getting chewed up for no good reason. However, there is another war which is going on, which is a lot closer to home, which is down in Mexico. There is a massive border war going on right now with Mexico, and it's not getting any kind of serious radio play. In some of the southern states, they are, but there's some seriously heavy, hardcore stuff going on down in Mexico. In border war news, the discovery of a dozen decapitated bodies scattered across the city of Mexico has become the latest symbol of a terrifying price this country is paying for drug consumption in America. Nine of the corpses found on a busy street in Chilpancingo. Okay, I'm sure it probably is Chilpancingo. An hour's drive from a tourist resort of Acapulco. Yards from the governor of Guerrero State was later to... Where the governor... Okay, let me try that again. Nine corpses were found on a busy street in Chilpancingo, an hour's drive from the tourist resort of Acapulco, yards from where the governor of Guerrero State was later to participate in a religious procession. A bag containing the heads, some gagged with tape, was found nearby with a sign declaring, "For every one of mine you kill, I will kill 10." Three more decapitated bodies were found later in a village outside the city. Eight of the victims, some of whose bodies showed evidence of torture, were identified as soldiers from the local army base. They're trying to scare the military, the defense minister said. Mexican security forces have suffered scores of deaths in the last 2 years since President Calderon deployed up to 40,000 troops in a domestic war against drugs. Now, scaring the army is never good. Never good to get scared soldiers. That's a bad thing, because that's, you know, when the carpet bombing starts. The number of people killed in Mexico through violence related to organized crime has doubled this year to 5,300. More than the entire U.S. death toll from the Iraq war as cartels battle against each other for control of the $15 billion annual drug trade and ruthlessly murder those who fail or accused of betrayal. The gruesome tactics of beheading is used to spread fear among the security forces and their informants. Two headless corpses were found in the same boulevard in Chilpancingo on December 7th with a note reading, "Soldiers who are supposedly fighting crime and they turn out to be kidnappers, this is going to happen to you." A gunfight in October resulted in the arrest of Eduardo... Eduardo Arlino Felix, the head of a Tijuana cartel. Others, including Sinaloa cartel, are now being embroiled in a battle for control of the territory. In particularly violent weekend last month, resulted in 36 deaths in Tijuana, including 9 men found decapitated, 3 of whom were policemen, and their badges stuck in their mouths. That's pretty hardcore. This is like pretty Heart of Darkness going on down there, man. Lieutenant Colonel Julian Lozoya took over the city police department earlier this month. Even in war, you don't see what you see here. People whose heads are cut off, people who are dissolved in acid. If the cartels only understand the language of violence, then we're going to have to speak with them, speak their language, and annihilate them. Yeah, and when generals and stuff start using the words like annihilate, that's really dangerous. Mr. Calderon said that the future of his country was at stake. It is for this reason that my government is not and will not ever negotiate with organized crime. He added that it would fight the enemies of Mexico with all the power of the state. On Tuesday last week, U.S. Justice Department said that the Mexican drug cartels have become America's greatest organized crime threat. Okay, on Tuesday of last week, the U.S. Justice Department said the Mexican drug cartels have become America's greatest organized crime threat. Period, full stop. So we need to understand then that, you know, groups like MS-13 and all these other drug cartels that are going to start using some very, very violent street gangs as their muscle, this is a large problem that we're going to need to deal with. Those involved smuggle marijuana, cocaine, heroin, and methamphetamine into the country, spreading violence across the border. The National Drug Intelligence Center, in its threat assessment, said that Mexican cartels already control distribution in most U.S. cities and are gaining strength through street and prison gangs. They have funds of billions of dollars from recreational drug takers in the U.S. and, to a lesser extent, Europe. The Mexican government is receiving $400 million in military assistance from both President Bush under the Mirada Initiative to combat the drug trade. A recent report from the Brookings Institute in Washington, which co-authored by the former Mexican president Ernesto Zedillo, said that the war on drugs, including a $5 billion plan, including the $5 billion plan Colombia, had failed and would continue to fail as long as it emphasized law enforcement and it neglected the problem of consumption. If we insist only on a strategy of criminal pursuit for those who traffic in drugs, the problem will never be resolved. Which is true. I mean, the war on drugs is one thing. It's interesting, of course, they made a point of putting marijuana in there when, realistically, marijuana... I understand that it is a drug. I understand that it is illegal. However, it grows naturally all over the world. So it's not like, you know, we have heroin or opium or something like that where there's a lot of processing involved. I mean, it's a plant. It grows. You pick it. You smoke it. That's it, you know. So it's very easy to get by people in the United States if it wasn't illegal. If they could just grow their own, they wouldn't be buying it, thereby stopping the money going down to the States. You see what I mean? So legalizing the weed, which has no lethal dosage amount, you know, that there's something to be said for that. And as long as we're on the subject, why don't you just legalize it, tax the hell out of it, ba-bing! Recession is over! Or we could have another war. But I'd rather just, you know, legalize weed, tax it, end of recession. Thanks, John. Yeah, no problem. Give me a call anytime you want me to sort out this massive, you know, economic big bag of shit you got on the go down there. It is estimated, it goes on to say here, the drug war is not only being paid for by Americans, but is also being fought largely with weapons bought north of the border. When Patricia Espinoza, the Mexican foreign secretary, held talks with the Miranda program last week with Condoleezza Rice, the U.S. Secretary of State, she urged U.S. to take steps not only to curb the demand for drugs, but also to slow the flow of guns into Mexico. It is estimated that 2,000 firearms are being smuggled from the U.S. states such as Texas, where gun laws are notoriously lax, to Mexico every day. Well, I'd like to see some, you know, 2,000 firearms a day. That seems a bit high. Mr. Calderon's government has pleaded repeatedly for America to control its supply of automatic and assault weapons. Mr. Bush allowed the ban on these weapons to expire in 2004 as violence began to escalate in Mexico. Barack Obama has been criticized by groups such as the National Rifle Association for pledging to curb sales. Well, that's kind of ridiculous, actually, to curb. Gun control does not work. Okay, it does not work. Do you think these Mexican cartels are buying legit weapons? No, they're not. It's ridiculous to think that they are. So how is, you know, restricting the purchasing power of legitimate sportsmen going to affect the flow of guns into the United States? Anyway, in her talks with MS Esposa, Dr. Rice said, "I've never known illegal arms traffickers who'd cared very much about the law. And so simply, I don't accept the notion that the lifting the ban somehow has led arms traffickers to increase their activity." Well, thank you, Dr. Rice. I didn't know she was a doctor. That's cool. Now, and another reason not to get rid of the guns, of course, is from the latest piece of news on Robot Takeover News. Top robotics expert, Professor Noel Sharkey of the University of Sheffield, has called for an international guidelines to be set for the ethical and safe application of robots before it's too late. Professor Sharkey, writing in the prestigious Science Journal, believes the use of robots increases decisions about their application to be left to the military, industry, and busy parents instead of in international legislative bodies. Robots have been used by laboratories and factories for many years, but their uses are changing fast. Since the turn of the century, Since the turn of the century, sales of professional and personal service robots have risen sharply and are estimated to total 5.5 million in 2008. IFR statistics estimated 11.5 million in the next 2 years. The price of robotic manufacturers also falling, with robots 80% cheaper in 2006 than they were in 1990. They are set to enter our lives in unprecedented numbers. Service robots are being used in all walks of life, from childminding robots to robots that care for the elderly. These types of robots can be controlled by a mobile phone or from a PC, allowing input from camera eyes and remote talking from caregivers. Sophisticated elder care robots like the Secom MySpoon automated feeding robot and the Sanyo electric bathtub robot that automatically washes and then rinses, the Mitsubishi Wakumara robot used for reminding people to take their medicines are already in widespread use. I mean, that's a little bit disturbing for me. You need to take your pills. No, I don't want it to take your pills. Despite this, no international legislation or policy guidelines currently exist except in the terms of negligence. This is still to be tested in court, for robo-surrogates may be difficult to prove in the home relative to cases of physical abuse. Professor Sharkey urges his fellow scientists and engineers working in robotics to be mindful of the unanticipated risks and ethical problems linked with their work. He believes robots for care represent just one of the many ethically problematic areas that will soon arise from their increased use, and that policy guidelines for ethical and safe application need to be set before guidelines are set themselves. He said, "Research into service robots has demonstrated close bonding and attachment by children who in most cases prefer the robot to a teddy bear. Short-term exposure can provide an enjoyable and entertaining experience that creates interest and curiosity. However, because of the physical safety that robot minders provide, children could be left without human contact for many hours a day or perhaps several days, and the possible psychological impact of varying degree of social isolation or development is unknown." Yes, well, we already let children be raised by televisions. Why not let them be raised by robots as well? At the other end of the age spectrum, the relative increase in many countries of the population of the elderly relative to available younger caregivers has spurred the development of elder care robots. Not enough kids to look after the old people, so we let the robots do it. These robots can help the elderly maintain independence in their own homes, but their presence could lead the risk of leaving elderly in exclusive care of the machines without sufficient human contact. Interesting. Interesting. I mean, it seems kind of wild to me that we're concerned about the future of our culture because we're starting to automate and replace ourselves. Isn't that wild? But speaking of the future, hey, let's get back to 2012. It's coming fast. We're already on the new year now. We're 2009. We're 3 years away from 2012. So, you know, the Incans and the Mayans and all those guys, they all thought that 2012 was a big deal. You go do a search on Google for 2012. It's like the whole world's coming to a close on 2012. That's like the big thing, right? So in 2012 news, an unexpected thick layer of solar particles inside the Earth's magnetic field suggests that there are huge breaches in our planet's solar defenses. These breaches indicate that the next period of high solar activity, due to start in 2012, the Earth will experience some of the worst solar storms it's seen in decades. Solar winds, charged particles from sun, help create auroras, the brightly colored lights that sometimes appear at the Earth's poles. But the winds also trigger storms that can interfere with satellite power sources, endanger spacewalkers, and even knock out power grids on Earth. The sequence we're expecting is just right to put particles and energize them to create the biggest geomagnetic storms, the brightest auroras, and the biggest disturbances in Earth's radiation belt, said David Cybak, a space weather expert at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Maryland. So if all that's true, it should be that we're in for a tough time in the next 11 years. Data from NASA's Themis satellite showed a 4,000-mile thick, a 6,437-kilometer thick, layer of solar particles has gathered and is rapidly growing within the outermost part of the magnetosphere, a protective bubble created by the Earth's magnetic field. Normally, the magnetosphere blocks most of the solar wind flowing outward from the sun at about a million miles an hour. The solar wind is constantly changing, and the Earth's magnetic field is buffeted like a windsock in gale-force winds, fluttering back and forth in response to the solar wind, Cybex said in a week during a meeting with the American Geophysical Union in San Francisco. Earth's magnetic field lines align themselves in different directions over various regions of the planet. So we got some major solar storms coming in 2012. Wow! Isn't that interesting? I guess those crazy minds must have been onto something. Huh? What does it all mean? I don't know. Maybe it might be a good time to, get a little wog about it. Make sure that you've got your own so you can look after yourself and your family and perhaps those that matter to you. However you define friends and family, I suppose. And in privacy news, how about this one here? State Representative Steve Hargadon, former newspaper publisher, says he might introduce a bill to force people to use their real names when posting comments on the internet. Good luck enforcing that. But this is where the direction that they're going. They want to try to make, they want to get rid of privacy is what they want to do. A modest proposal that simply requires the posting of a true name with respect to comments and blogs would go a long way. Republican of Twin Falls, told the Times News, adding the absence of such a provision discourages people from participating in civil life. No, I don't think that's... To me, it reflects the coarsening and cheapening of public debate, which I think is not healthy for Idaho. Hartigan, who was appointed to the legislature in Devine and won an election in November, is a former publisher and magazine editor of the Times News, but hasn't been affiliated with the newspaper since 2005. His suggestion has prompted an outcry from web users who argued it would chill the spontaneous exchange of ideas on the internet. Here's a reality check for Steve. A lot of people use pseudonyms because they face employment or other personal repercussions for making their real opinions public, and particularly if they criticize the powerful, wrote Seattle resident Dave Nierhout, a former Times News staffer from the 80s, now a freelancer and blogger at Crooks and Liars. I know you know all about that too, Steve. Taking away that cover will move valuable voices and important perspectives from the public dialogue. Nierhout told the newspaper the bill wouldn't withstand a court challenge. It's just true silliness, he said. Most of the public is capable of discerning the stuff between an anonymous commentator and the stuff from a serious journalist. Representative Wendy Jackert, a Democrat from Ketchum, said the state shouldn't intervene. People are concerned about the comments on the internet, should contact the company running the offending website. It just seems to me there ought to be a policy of the publication, she said. It just seems to me that there ought to be a policy of the publication. So it's up to the publication to determine, who can and cannot, which is true. Most forums will either allow anonymous posting or they don't. Hartigan said he might propose a bill that relies on the state Consumer Protection Act law, now aimed at protecting consumers and business from deceptive trade practices, to require people to identify themselves. And this is the death of privacy. Where we're going with this is we're going to see anonymity become the cloak of terrorism. If it's anonymous, it must be terrorist, right? Because only a terrorist would want to hide themselves. Only terrorists hide behind masks. That, special forces, and SAS guys. So, essentially, the really hardcores always hide behind masks and pseudonyms and whatever. I don't know if it'll pass, but it's a good thing to keep monitoring. It's a good thing to be aware of the direction that these folks are trying to take it so we can stay vigilant against it. And in the UK, this particular story is one of those stories. This is the cherry. This is why you downloaded the show today. Seriously. In bank slavery news. Now, I say again, this is in the UK, okay? The government has been accused of trampling on individual liberties, really, in the UK, you say, by proposing a wide-ranging new powers for bailiffs. Now, bailiffs are the bail bondsmen. These are security guards, essentially, is what they are. They're not government employees. They're people who have been, you're not, a drug addict. You're not a psycho. You don't have a prison record, or your prison record isn't that bad. So you're not a cop, but you're a bailiff, which means you can serve papers and that kind of a thing. Or if, you haven't paid your credit card, the bailiffs show up to try to repossession your stuff, that kind of a thing. These are the guys, the repo guys. So, the government has been accused of trampling on individual liberties by proposing wide-ranging new powers for bailiffs to break into homes and use reasonable force, in quotes, against householders who try to protect their valuables. Hi, you haven't paid for your couch, so we're going to kick in your door, come into your house. If you attack us, we will beat the shit out of you and then take your couch. Under the regulations, bailiffs for private firms would, for the first time, be given permission to restrain or pin down householders. They would be able to force their way into homes, seize property to pay off debts, such as unpaid credit card bills and loans. The government, which wants to crack down on people who evade debts, says the new powers would be overseen by a robust industry watchdog. However, the laws are being criticized by the latest erosion of rights and householders in its own home. You imagine trying this shit in Texas? Because after they take all the guns away, this is exactly the kind of laws that you'll see. If they were to try this in the United States, people would be getting shot, so they wouldn't be seeing this. And you can dance up and down the block all you like about gun control and blah, blah, blah. The fact remains, this law would not pass in Texas because the bailiffs would get killed. The laws strip away tried and tested protections to make the person's home his castle, which have stood for centuries, says Paul Nicholson, chairman of the Zacharias 2000 Trust, a London-based welfare charity. They could clearly lead to violent confrontations and undermine fundamental liberties. Oh yeah, and booby traps. I mean, Jesus Christ, force escalation here is going to be nuts. Bailiffs have, for hundreds of years, denied powers of breaking homes for civil or debt or use force against debtors, except in self-defense. Fair enough. In a famous declaration, William Pitt the Elder, the 18th century prime minister, said, The poorest man may in his cottage bid defiance to all the forces of the crown. Interesting. Ministers have now proposed bailiffs be given the powers to physically remove debtors who try to defend their property, for example, by draping themselves over a car or blocking the door to their home. Lord Bach, a junior justice minister, has assured the House of Lords that any new powers would be implemented only after consultation would not be used to search debtors' pockets to remove jewelry. Well, how the hell do you know that? Because, I mean, jewelry is worth money, right? It's gold, right? These people owe you gold, right? So why not? It emerged last week that Her Majesty's Court Service has already handed out guidance to privately employed bailiffs, pointing out that under legislation passed in 2004, they can already break down doors as a last resort to collect court fines. So they can already do this. Some restraint should be exercised according to search and entry power guidelines. If a person locks himself in their own home, they might be reasonable to break open the door, but probably not to smash in the hole in the wall. It advises. Advises is an interesting word. Details of the new guidelines were obtained under the new Freedom of Information Law. They say homes should not be broken into when nobody is in. Reasonable grounds for breaking down the door include movement of a curtain, a radio being heard, or a figure being spotted inside, which may be the offender. So, I mean, we saw a curtain move, we broke down the door. It is claimed these powers are already abused. In one case, an 89-year-old grandmother returned home from find a bailiff sitting in her chair, having drawn up a list of her possessions. He was pursuing a parking fine owed by her son, who did not even live at the address. Ouch! 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 Now, you think, well, that's Britain. You know, that's what's going on in England. This is, you know, that's how they roll over there, right? I mean, they've kind of already given it up. Well, let's skip over to Galveston, which I believe is in Texas. I'm gonna show my ignorance of American geography here, but I believe the Galveston's in Texas, so we'll just call it Galveston. But apparently, police did. Now, the cops down in the States, okay, there's some problems going on with law enforcement right now in North America. I like cops. I've catch shit all the time because I always give cops the benefit of the doubt. Okay? Media report stuff, and they like to swing it because it's fun. Everybody likes to rip on cops, right? And you know this. I mean, if a cop does something wrong, holy shit, it's going to be on the news in Paris. You know what I mean? But if a cop does something right, you never hear news stories about cops saving people because that's their job, right? Well, you know, if their job has a good side and a bad side. So if you're going to report on the bad side, maybe you should report on the good side too. But anyway, in Gestapo news, police get the wrong house in Galveston and allegedly assault a 12-year-old girl. Now listen to this one here. It was a little before 8 o'clock at night when the breaker went out at Emily Milber's home in Galveston. She was busy preparing her children for school the next day, so she asked her 12-year-old daughter, Diamond, to pop outside and turn the switch back on. As Diamond headed towards the breaker, a blue van drove up, three men jumped out and rushed towards her. One of them grabbed her, saying, "You're a prostitute, you're coming with me." Diamond grabbed onto a tree, started screaming, "Daddy, daddy, daddy." One of the men covered her mouth. Two of the men beat her about the face and throat. As it turned out, the three men were plainclothes Galveston police officers who had been called to the area regarding three white prostitutes soliciting a white man and a black drug dealer. All this is according to a lawsuit filed by the Galveston Federal Court by Milburn against the officers. The lawsuit alleges that the officers thought Diamond, an African-American, was a hooker due to the tight shorts she was wearing, despite not fitting the racial description of any of the female subjects. The police went to the wrong house, two blocks away from the area reported the illegal activity, Milburn attorney Anthony Griffiths tells the website. After the incident, Diamond was hospitalized and suffered black eyes as well as throat and eardrum injuries. Now, throat and eardrum injuries can be, a bruise is an injury, but black eyes are black eyes. Okay, this 12-year-old girl with black eyes. 3 weeks later, according to the lawsuit, police went to Diamond's school, where she was an honor student, and arrested her for assaulting a public servant. Griffiths says the allegations stem from when Diamond fought back against the three men who were trying to take her from her home. The case went to trial, but the judge declared a mistrial on the first day. The new trial is set for February. I think we'll be okay, says Griffin. I don't think the jury will find a 12-year-old girl guilty who's just sitting outside of her house. Any 12-year-old attacked by three men and told that she's a prostitute is going to scream and yell for daddy and hit back and do whatever she can. She's scared to death. Since the incident occurred more than 2 years ago, Diamond regularly suffers nightmares in which police officers are raping and beating her, cutting off her fingers, according to the lawsuit. Griffiths said he expects to enter a mediation with the officers early 2009 to resolve the lawsuit. We've got calls in to the officer's lawyer. We'll let you know if we hear something. And eventually, an update came back from the officer's lawyer. Both the daughter and the father were arrested for assaulting a peace officer. The father basically attacked the peace officer, trying to take the daughter into custody after she ran off. So, yeah. Also, the city has investigated the matter and found that the conduct of police officers was appropriate under the circumstances. It's unfortunate that sometimes police officers have used force against people who are using force against them, and evidence will show that both these folks violated law and forcefully resisted arrest. I don't know. Pulling a 12-year-old girl into a van and beating the shit out of her, I've had to eject coked-out chicks from bars. I don't have to hit nobody, and I'm just one guy. So I think that although I do side with cops a lot, and again, I'm going on this from a one-side news story, doesn't really look that good. So it's a good idea, to just stay on the low profile. That's what you want to get from a story like this. You look at this and go, God damn those cops, or you go, God damn, these hippies who are making the cops look bad. No matter which side of the story you are on that, you do have to realize that there was a big mistake made here, and perhaps there's a way we could prevent this from happening in the future. So, a little bit of security is a good thing. Now, on to your daily hack. First of all, it's a 10-cent survival night, which got posted by NetSniper, and then Sim passed it on to me. It's pretty cool. It's how you take, a hacksaw blade and turn it into a survival knife. Very, very interesting. And as well, we have a brain hack, which I got in my latest Make magazine, and Fat Ninja got me to think about it. You don't have to be a Buddhist monk to meditate, or a Sleeping Beauty to sleep well. Achieve these states of altered consciousness and others with a simple microcontroller device that would happen. You could play a recording of brainwaves into someone's brain. Very interesting. This article shows you how to build an SLM for much cheaper than you would buy one. We'll do it the easy way by hacking a microcontroller project which already exists. Limor Fried's mini POV kit. This cool toy blinks pictures and words in the space that you wave it through. We can transform it into an SLM simply by changing the firmware and some minor hardware. Very, very cool. So always good to hack the brain. Used for people trying to restart their lives. And some Recomedia. Thriving on less. Simplifying in a tough economy. Sent in by Viper. And this is a free download PDF where it talks about how you can make your life work a little bit better for less money. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate, please distribute. And if you can donate, please do so by clicking on the subscribe tab or the donations tab on the left side of my LiveJournal page, sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. Or you can send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56th Street Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. And as well, we got the 10-year Rant anniversary coming up only a few days, from now, as I'm recording this. Yeah, because it's Monday when you guys listen. So in another week, it's going to be 10 years of Rant. 10 years. How many other websites have been around for 10 years? How many people have been broadcasting for 10 years? I mean, that's pretty good. It's pretty good. So Rain Media 10-year anniversary is going to be coming up. Lots of announcements going to be made on the next show, or the show after that, because I can't really do a show and then have it preempt the 10-year. But we got a lot of good stuff happening in the next year, guys. I want to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys for assistance in gathering data. If you have information you'd like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@renradio.com. If you like music in the background, check out some Psytrance. And keeping with the holiday experience, I'm going to feed out now with that really cool Stephen Colbert and Willie Nelson track, The Little Dealer Boy. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
I have no money in my coffer, no gold or silver do I bring, nor have I precious jewels to offer to celebrate the newborn king. Yet do not spurn my gift completely. Ye three wise men, please demur. Behold a plant that smokes more sweetly than either frankincense or myrrh. And like the child born in this manger, this herb is mild, yet it is strong. It brings peace to friend and stranger. Goodwill to men lies in this balm. And now my wonder weed is flaring.
Are you high?
Lit like that special star above.
Can it be?
Pass it around and endless sharing.
On Christmas Day.
And let not mankind bogart love.
You took my tree.
And the wise men started token. And yea, the bud was kind. It was salvation they were smoking. And his forgiveness blew their mind. And still that wonder weed is flaring.
Are you high?
Lit like that star was once above.
You're so high.
Pass it around in endless sharing.
Dude, man, dude.
And let not mankind invoke a hard love.
You're really high. I'm gonna tell your savior.
And let not mankind bogart love.